implies some change. And the second, noeo, meaning to perceive, or the mind, to perceive with the mind. The idea here is that an individual who's taking one course of action would have a change of mind and continue on a different course of action. So there's another Greek word that's used for repentance in the Bible. However, this word metanoeo is by far the more commonly used word for repentance. So we'll take that definition there. Repentance is also defined, and I like this definition, from David Cloud's Way of Life Encyclopedia. It is defined as a change of mind, Godward, that results in a change of life. And Pastor Simeon said to me, now make sure that you bring that through, that it is repentance is not me reforming myself. It's not me changing my life. Repentance is a change of heart and mind toward God that then results in a change of life. So repentance then is a change of perception, a change of mind, resulting in a change of life. Repentance is not me trying to do good, but good works should follow genuine repentance. So repentance starts with a work of the Holy Spirit in my life, bringing about a recognition, a conviction and recognition of my sin, the wickedness of my sin in the eyes of God, and the Holy Spirit bringing conviction in my life turns my heart towards God in faith, where I then cast myself upon His mercy, seeking His forgiveness. So repentance, it's not just me trying to do good things, as many have that misconception that, oh, well, it's just repentance is just me doing good things so that God will accept me. No. True repentance is a work of the Holy Spirit in my heart, in my life. So genuine repentance isn't something that we can work up in our own flesh, in our own strength. The lost man cannot come to genuine repentance just by his own sheer willpower to be a good person. Genuine repentance that turns a sinner towards God is a work of the Holy Spirit that He must accomplish in our lives as we allow Him to have His way with us. And just a couple of verses here that speak about how God is the one who gives us repentance. We see in Acts 11 verse 18, it says, "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Repentance is a work of God in our hearts which turns us from sin unto Himself. And this is important because there are those who say that repentance is a work. And since salvation is by grace through faith without works, then they would claim that repentance cannot be part of salvation. However, since God is the one who brings the sinner to repentance, it is no longer the sinner working for his salvation, but God bringing him to the point of repentance, where he then casts himself on God, knowing that he cannot do anything for himself to save himself. He can't work for his salvation. Doing good works won't get him into heaven. That's not how he obtains salvation, but only through the free gift of God. So repentance is not a work. It is not a way in which we are earning our salvation, but rather that God grants repentance, and the repentant individual will recognize their need of the Saviour and cast themselves wholly on Him, trusting wholly in what He has accomplished on their behalf, not trying to earn their own salvation, but that God has already purchased their redemption and they must wholly trust in Him and cast themselves at His feet, asking Him for forgiveness, asking God to apply the blood of Christ to their own life. And yes, the blood of Christ atones for all sin, but it must be personally appropriated. It must be personally applied to your life. It's not enough to say that Christ died for all. Yes, he died for all and he died for you, and salvation is something that is specific to the individual. You can't just say, well, my parents are Christians and therefore I must be a Christian too. If they're on their way to heaven, I must be as well. No, you need to come to a place of personal trust in Christ. Just to reinforce this fact that repentance is not a work by which we're saved, I'd like you to consider just for a minute a bit of an analogy, a picture, if you will, that comes to mind. That just picture someone caught in a rip in the ocean. Now, what happens when someone gets caught in a rip is that in that particular place, the current has come in like that and then starts heading back out. And if you get caught in that rip, you'll get dragged out to sea. But it reaches a certain point where that dissipates. But what people don't realise when they get caught in that rip is if they ride it out, they'll be fine. And what they do is they struggle to save themselves. They're terrified of drowning and they exhaust themselves, and by result, they drown. So picture an individual who has been struggling against this current. They're exhausted. They're at their wits' end. They have no idea the danger that they are now in as they continue to struggle with the current and become more and more exhausted. And a lifeguard who warned them about this danger approaches. He approaches in a boat and the individual is presented with the opportunity to be rescued. The question is, will the individual be saved if all they do is promise to turn from their foolish ways, but they never accept the help of the lifeguards? If all I do is promise to reform my own life, will I be saved? If all this individual does is promise not to swim in that spot again, but he refuses the help of the lifeguards, will he be rescued? Of course not. It's not enough to commit to self-reformation. No, the individual must have a change of mind, a change of heart towards that lifeguard and say, I can't rescue myself. He must accept that the lifeguard must rescue him. He can't earn his own salvation, and neither can we. We can't rescue ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We must be saved by the one who has already purchased our salvation. Having a change of heart towards God and trying to turn from our sin just does not save us. Only the blood of Christ has power to save us. Me trying my own efforts to be good, that's self-reformation in a sense, but it's not the genuine repentance that turns our heart towards God. The next question I'd like to raise is, but isn't faith enough? Why do we need this repentance? Isn't faith enough? I believe in God. And we've all, if you've been out door knocking, you've heard this before. I believe. Yeah, I believe in God, sure. Yeah. Isn't that enough? You know, I always try to do the right thing. I'm a good bloke. If my neighbour needs a hand, we're putting up the fence, I'll lend a hand. You know, I'll always try to be a nice person. I believe in God. And I think I'm good enough. He'll let me in when I get to the pearly gates. We've all heard that. There are a lot of people out there who believe God exists and may even have some understanding and some belief in, you know, it's the God of the Bible. Oh, I don't believe in, you know, I don't believe that Buddha's God, you know. Sure, all right. I believe in the God of the Bible, okay? They have some belief there in the God of the Bible, but they aren't saved. They aren't on their way to heaven. Now, I said earlier that it isn't enough to simply try and turn from sin, but it also isn't enough to simply believe, because salvation requires genuine repentance coupled with faith toward God. Salvation requires genuine repentance, that is the work of God turning our hearts unto himself, coupled with faith in him, our reliance on him to accomplish what we could not accomplish for ourselves. In purchasing our salvation, he bought us back unto himself. So we must have that repentance, that work of repentance accomplished in our lives that turns us in faith toward God. It isn't enough to simply believe. The devils believe in God. James chapter 2 verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know, the devils have a much better understanding of who God is than any of us probably ever will in this life. The devils once dwelt in heaven itself and viewed all of God's creation, the wonders of creation, the wonders of heaven. They definitely believe in God. In fact, they fall down and tremble before him, because they, having been given all they needed to make their choice, they chose to rebel against God, and their end will be the lake of fire. They believe, they tremble, and they're on their way to an eternal lake of fire. Man is in a unique position in that, unlike the angels, man was placed in Eden in a sort of probationary period, if you will. Man failed that probationary term. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was an act of rebellion against God. They were not in complete obedience to him. But it is clear from Scripture that man's fall in the garden was not considered to be his final rejection of God. It certainly gave man a sin nature and has made us indeed worthy of the lake of fire. But God, in his mercy, has provided a second chance to man. Man has been given the opportunity to make his final decision whether he would accept or reject his Creator. The path that Adam and Eve chose in Eden was the path of sin and self, a path of rebellion against their Creator. And this is the path that God is turning us away from. Through repentance, we turn from serving self. We turn from that sin. We turn back to our Creator, back to yielding ourselves to him. We still have, every one of us has to make that choice, whether we accept or reject our Creator. You know, God, by his Spirit, works in the lives of each individual, convicting them of sin, trying to draw them to himself, but it is still up to the individual whether we accept our Creator, whether we turn, allow God to turn our hearts to him, or whether we rebel and say, no, I will continue going my own way. We each have to make that choice. Second main point this evening: who in the Bible repents? Firstly, let's turn to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 18. Jeremiah and chapter 18. Give you a minute to turn there. The other day when I was looking for the book of Jeremiah, I had a mental blank and I was looking in the wrong spot. But thankfully this evening, straight there, not a problem. Nothing worse than watching the preacher flounder around in his Bible trying to find the book he's looking for. Jeremiah in chapter 18 and verses 8 to 10. We read, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. God repents, but not in the way that man repents. God does not repent from sin. God is holy. God is perfect. There is no sin in him. He cannot repent from sin. But God repents here in this passage before us. Firstly, he repents from judgment he intended to execute upon a nation. Notice that God is looking at the heart of the nation. He's viewing their attitude towards him. What is the heart of the nation towards God? It's important that God viewed their works as being evidence of their heart towards him. God is watching. God is observing the nations and seeing whether their heart is right towards him or whether they are in rebellion against him as a nation. And God intended here, at first in verse 8 here, we see a nation that God intended to judge for its wickedness. And God says, if this nation would turn away from its wickedness, if they would repent of the evil that they were doing, he would see their repentance and he would repent of the judgment he had planned to do unto them. Now, was God's judgment wrong in any way? No. The nation was a wicked nation. God's judgment was always in perfect balance with his mercy. It was in no way wrong. If God executed judgment upon this nation, he would be perfectly just and right in doing so. God is not turning from a course of action that was in any way wrong. But he says, if I see that the nation's heart towards me it's been turned from their wicked ways to me, then I will repent or turn from the course of judgment that I intended to execute upon them. Do you see how the heart of man towards God has a great impact on God's actions towards man? When men turn to God, God blesses men. So God was not repenting of any evil, but when it says that God would repent of the evil that he thought to do unto them, he was perfectly just in executing judgment upon them. But God in his mercy looked down and saw that the nation turned to him, and he said, I will not execute judgment upon them at this time, because their heart is right. They have turned from their wickedness to myself. So God repented from judging them, but justly. God also repents at times from blessing a nation. We see in verses 9 and 10, it says, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. So God's saying he had intentions to bless the nation, to build the nation. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. So here in verse 10, we see the opposite of verse 8. In verse 8, we saw a wicked nation that's heart turned to God. Here we see a nation that God had intended to bless, but their heart turned away. They turned unto wickedness. And God says that he would repent of the good wherewith he had intended to bless them. In both cases, God's actions are just towards men. In both cases, God is observing man's heart towards himself. God's actions toward men are always in perfect balance. His justice and his mercy are in perfect balance. But God saw the heart of man whether it was right towards him or whether it was turned against him. Yes, the Bible says that God repents. However, nowhere in the Bible do we find God repenting or turning from sin, repenting or turning from wickedness. It's wrong, it's a complete fallacy to compare the repentance of God with the repentance of man. Man is commanded to repent from sin. God has no need to repent of sin because there is no sin in him. Nor does God change his mind all willy-nilly. It's not that God intended one course of action and then just sort of, I'll change my mind to do this. No, God was observing the heart of man. God was observing the heart of the nation. And God acted in accordance with man's heart towards him. If your heart is right towards God, if you are in submission to him, to his will, seeking to be obedient to him, he will bless. But if you are living a life of rebellion against him, there's judgment coming. God is always just in his actions, though, and never needs to repent of sin or of wrongdoing. So God does repent, but it is always a turning from a particular course of action in response to the heart of man towards him. Man also is commanded to repent at times. Man repents. Turn with me to the book of Exodus in chapter 13. See an interesting case of repentance here. Exodus in chapter 13, and we'll look at verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." Did you know there was a specific time when God didn't want his people to repent? Now God always wants us to repent from sin. But in relation to man, repentance is not always a turning from sin. Here, God didn't want the children of Israel to repent or to turn back to Egypt. They were to go out from Egypt. They were leaving. It was the Exodus from Egypt. They were to go into the wilderness. But God knew that if they saw war coming up, if there was going to be a battle, there was going to be some conflict here, that they might return, they would repent from continuing on the course of action that God would have them to continue on, the Exodus. They might repent from the Exodus and turn back to Egypt. And God didn't want them to turn back. So the word repentance doesn't always specifically mean a turning from sin. But the word repentance is always defined by its use, whether it be specific or contextual. It's always defined. Here we see that it was God didn't want the individuals turning back to Egypt, turning away from the course of action that he desired them to continue on. So we see that repentance is not just specific to repentance from sin, as some would try to make that emphasis. No, there is a negative sort of repentance. But there's also a positive repentance, a repentance that God wants for us. Turn to Luke chapter 13, please. Luke chapter 13 and verses 1 to 5. reads, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Here the context makes it clear that the repentance being spoken of is repentance from sin. As Jesus asked them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans?" And then again, in verse 4, "All those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? No. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus told his listeners that they all needed to repent from sin. Sometimes repentance is specific to sin. Okay? There are people, there's some out there who are spreading this false doctrine that we don't need to repent from sin. Well, the Bible says we do. In fact, it specifically commands us to repent from sin, to repent from wickedness. Repentance from sin is a doctrine that is clearly laid out for us all through the New Testament, and it is a vital part of the doctrine of salvation, the doctrines of soteriology. If you remove repentance from salvation, you are being a part of the devil's work in causing souls who would otherwise have repented, you're disillusioning them. You're teaching them falsely that they don't need repentance and they will never be saved. They will continue on their way thinking that what they are doing, the way they are continuing to live their life, that's okay. It's okay. I'm all right. I don't need God to do a work in my life to bring me to the place of repentance. All I need is faith. All I need is to believe and carry on my merry way. Such great damage that can be done by teaching such things. Thirdly, why do we need to repent? Well, firstly, for the sinner, repentance is necessary for salvation. As I mentioned before, repentance is an expression of man's heart towards God. Repentance is the work that God does in man's heart to turn him from his sin unto his Creator. And God sees the inward parts of man's heart. God works in our hearts. God turns our hearts towards himself. We make a choice whether we will accept or reject our Creator. If we will accept him, if we will cast ourselves at his feet, he will have mercy. The scriptures command that sinners repent. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, we read, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repentance is a vital part of salvation. It is necessary. I mentioned an objection raised recently. Isn't it just too easy to say, repent and believe? And I'm sure this is an objection that you've heard before. I spoke to a couple of men earlier, and they said, oh yes, I've heard that objection, yep, yep. Firstly, the simplicity of the gospel is often a stumbling block to sinners who are looking for their own way to heaven, who are looking to work their way into heaven. And often when you hear this objection, it's because the individual has their own ideas about how they should make it into heaven. And when those ideas don't match up with the scriptures, that becomes a stumbling block for them. This objection may also be because of a lack of understanding in regards to the meaning and impact of genuine repentance. Sometimes when an individual says, well, isn't it too easy to say repent and believe? What they have in mind is that they're just going to try to live a good life and believe that, you know, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yep, sure, I believe. Yep. And I always try to do the right thing, so I'm all good. I'm on my way to heaven then. Okay? A misconception there about the genuine work of repentance, the work accomplished by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes it is that misconception. Genuine repentance means that when we, by the work of God, have turned, our hearts have been turned to God, that there will be a change of life as well. And that's something else that we need to people need to be confronted with, the fact that if they are truly going to yield their lives to God, that is going to mean some changes in their personal life. That is going to mean there will be things that they have to give up. Now, again, I emphasize, repentance isn't a work that we do. We're not talking about repentance when I say there'll be a change of life. But a change of life should follow genuine repentance. There should be following a genuine repentance, following that turning of our hearts to God. It is a turning from sin. There will be changes. Okay, there will be some things that must be given up. And sometimes the unbeliever just doesn't understand when they say, well, isn't it too easy to say repent and believe? No, there's a lot more going on here. It is a lot harder to truly, okay, have that change of life, have that change of heart. It's more than just saying, I will reform my life. Okay, it can be a misconception there, and we must be submitted to the will of God for our lives. That's something that you must also confront the sinner with, is they must be willing to let God lead from now on. When they submit their life to Him, it is the whole life. So genuine repentance and faith in God is life changing, and it should not be taken lightly. However, there is nothing in this life that is more important than true salvation. That accepting of Christ as your personal Saviour. How people neglect the Saviour and go on their way to a Christless eternity. The gospel is simple. It is simple. I'm not trying to say it's more complicated than it is. But there are things that people misunderstand about the gospel. And sometimes the simplicity of the gospel is a stumbling block to people, and sometimes the complexity of the gospel, when you sit down and you really think about what is involved in true repentance, when you start thinking about the doctrines of the faith, it becomes a stumbling block for those who are intellectuals, who simply seek the knowledge. But there are those who simply neglect the gospel. Genuine repentance. If you've never have that work of the Spirit in your life, bringing you to a place of genuine repentance, that turning of your heart to God, and then in faith casting yourself upon Him, trusting Him for your salvation, putting your life in His hands. If you have never come to that point, then I cannot say to you that I will see you in heaven. You're saved. Welcome to the family of God. No. Repentance is essential. So why do we need repentance? Well, for the lost it is absolutely vital for salvation. For the saved, Romans 6:1 says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What profit is there in continuing in the things from which you have been saved?" Those things, those sins that the Spirit of God turned your heart away from, why would you try and turn back to them? You've trusted Christ as your personal Saviour. He saved you from sin. Why would you turn back? Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." It's talking about believers. Those who He loves, He will rebuke. He will chasten. The believer must be zealous, therefore, and repent. And also, shouldn't we desire to please God as believers? We're saved. We've received all the wondrous blessings that are obtained through salvation. Shouldn't we desire to please God? I mean, we have such great blessings given to us every day at the merciful hand of God. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." What are we turning back to? Why would we turn back to our sin? No, be zealous therefore and repent. So in conclusion, just to summarise, repentance from sin is a work of God turning our hearts from sin and in faith unto Himself. It's more than just me trying to be good. Repentance is absolutely vital to the doctrine of salvation and must not be undermined. If you undermine the doctrine of repentance, then you are undermining the doctrine of salvation and hindering sinners from being saved. That is the work of the devil. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you have not experienced what it is to have the Spirit of God turn your heart unto God in repentance, and in faith cast yourself upon the Saviour, if you have not experienced genuine salvation, then I'd encourage you to seek out Pastor and ask him to show you from the Scriptures how you can know that you are saved, that you are born again. We'll leave it there this evening. I'll close in prayer and then ask Pastor Simeon to close us off with a hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the rich truths found therein. Father, we pray that you'd help us to have clear minds regarding this doctrine of repentance, that we would not give it up, consider it to be unimportant, Father, but that we would see the importance of repentance, Father, that we might not neglect to preach repentance from sin and faith toward God. Father, we pray that you would bless each and every one of us now as we go our separate ways as well. I pray and ask in Jesus' name, Amen.